everybody, and welcome back for another month of Unleash. It is May of 2019. I am Thomas Domville, also known as the Naughty Mouse, along with the gang here with Mike Malarcy and the Big R, Randy Rusnak. How are you gentlemen doing for this month?
I am fantastic, actually. Enjoying the rare sunshine, finally.
Woohoo! Sun!
Well, I'm fantastic, too, except my mixer isn't. I had a mixer failure. Well, it's not failure. It's just to put it on lack of a better term, foobar.
Well, winter is over, gentlemen.
Yeah, that's right.
Woo-hoo! No more snow for Mr. Big R up there. He finally will get some.
I'm up here. I'm outside, and I'm outside on my phone, and it's actually 79 degrees right now.
Wow.
I'll sure be outside while we're inside. Okay.
It's warmer than it is here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I really wanted to come and tell you guys a really interesting story before we start in. We usually jabber just a little bit, and the long and the short of it is I wanted to tell you guys when I was sitting in front of my big microphones, I'd have the big sort of the big voice, which I don't have. It's actually kind of up here if I'm using my phone. But anyway, I got one of my ex students. Well, I shouldn't say ex, but one of my students that I have taught so well that he is no longer in need of my services. I was out cooking ribs on the smoker, and he happened to stop by. And he was the one actually that bought the ribs. And he made me a plaque to put outside for the world to see. And you know what the plaque says?
Oh, no. I'm waiting.
The Big R.
Only you would get a plaque like that. Well, that is so cool.
Yeah.
That's nice. That was really nice of him to do that.
It was. And I wanted to give him special mention because he loves our podcast. Something's wrong with it, but he loves it.
Oh, he's going to miss out on your big effect for this month. Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
And Mike's new, what is it, the round the ring sound. Mark Malarcy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Well, my mixer is okay. It's just that I have to route it through another sound device, and I just don't have enough time with the because I've worked mm-hmm. with the clients all day, and I just haven't had time. So I'll be back in my normal operation, hopefully next week.
I figured it was your wife that was like, enough is enough, and she just unplugged it.
That's right. She just says, he's using this special effect way too much. I'm turning off.
Well, her special effect was getting me outside.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we ended up with last month the fiscal report of Apple's earning quarter, second quarter came up at the end of April. Of course, you know, I was really looking forward to this because I was trying to figure out how Apple was going to spin this up. You know, they got to spin it up, even though things are down. They're like, okay, what are all the good things we can talk about? And of course, it was amusing to listen to because, of course, they say that services is at the all-time high. I have to admit, there were some interesting numbers, like wearables were up 50% over last year. I was like, wow. I wonder if that includes AirPod. You think that, I would think wearable, or is that just watch? Probably just watch.
My gut would say just watch, but you never really, really know how they're measuring it so they can make it seem like it's good news every time.
True. Well, even if it's just watch, 50% over a year, that's a lot.
Yeah, and that's a bunch.
That helps them a lot. They say this, you know, the number of subscriptions are up in terms of dollars, active install base, Macs at an all-time high. I was interested because, you know, I just thought the Macs would kept going down and down and down, and this is like the all-time high they have number of active base Macs. And so, I don't know. Were you guys kind of surprised to hear we're at an all-time high with Macs? I mean, does that kind of surprise?
Well, I don't want to be facetious, but yeah, I was going to just say why, and I don't mean that as anything facetious, but which is unusual for me, but why, you know? Any speculation on that?
I wonder if maybe they didn't sell as many as they wanted to say, so they worded it that way on purpose.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, I didn't even think about that.
What they're not saying is they only sold 100.
Oh, that's hilarious.
More active ones than ever, though.
We were down 5%, but what can we say?
Yeah, exactly.
We're at the all-time high active basis. You know, they did say that specifically. They didn't say the Mac sales was at the all-time high.
Yep.
See, this is their way of spinning it. They said the iPad, it was the strongest growth they have seen in iPad in over 6 years. So I thought, oh, there they go. They're spinning another thing. And then, of course, they had to get to the final, like, what else can we say? And then they said, well, we're down 5% from last year. And I'm thinking, you know what? That's not bad. You know, considering they were making lucrative profits, reaping in profits like hands over fist. You know, it didn't surprise me. And I'm going to guess our next fiscal report is going to be down as well. I think everything else will be going up. But, of course, the iPhone sales is still killing them and it's going down. And we mention it time after time after time. We're not surprised by this. It's just that the rush for gold is those days are gone and gone. I mean, it's just they're making lots of money. Don't anybody fear that Apple's going out of business? No, they're still making a lot of money. It's just that we finally plateau, and it doesn't surprise me if it goes down just a little each time.
Yeah, at some point you have to hit that market saturation, and things are going to level out. It's normal.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I just want to let the people that are listening, I know some people were kind of concerned because they, you know, the keep seeing going down. I said, oh, no, don't you worry about it. The phones will be
around. If they're that concerned, you know, what they could do is they could, here comes the facetious part. They could, donate to Apple if they felt bad for them.
Buy another phone. Go buy another AirPod.
Exactly.
Help them out.
Yeah.
Buy one for your neighbors.
Buy one for me.
Yeah, Randy, buy one for us.
Okay. All right. I'll do that.
Obviously, we had a couple updates. The 12.3 and 12.3.1 came out this month. Now, have you guys seen any battery issues or anything with yours? I haven't seen any drawback on mine, but I'm curious about you. No?
Mine's been perfectly fine.
Perfectly fine.
Well, all right. So you want my spin on it?
Uh-oh. Okay.
I don't know if it's my phone that it's 2 years old coming up on in November. I've noticed, or if it's that I'm getting up earlier and going to work more, or what it is. But I can't get through maybe past 7 o'clock without my battery draining from this last update, which is the very last update that we had. So I'm beginning to think that it's more use, so I can't put my finger on it.
Well, the phone is 3 years old, right?
No, it's two.
Years old.
I've also been using the heck out of WhatsApp and some of these other chat apps. And let's face it, the battery can only go just so far, you know. So, but I don't worry about it because I've got battery packs, and I can stay afloat for days upon, you know, end if I really wanted to. But I've noticed a little decrease, but I think it's because of usage personally.
Through that, or the battery starting to age a little bit, you can always check your battery status. I'm curious if you ever looked at your battery status, if it's still at 100 or if it's at start to come down like a 95-90%, because that's when you start to tell. You know, I keep forgetting about that, and I always recommend people, I say, well, let's check.
Why don't you recommend that, Tom? Why don't you talk about this for a while?
Check your battery health and let me know if that has gone down, and that will help you determine if that's you or the usage or what. But it's something to think about. But yeah, it doesn't surprise me after about 2 years with a phone, I don't think. And plus, like you said, you've been working a lot more. So, and those apps, my God, like WhatsApp, Be My Eyes, anything like that. God, they are a battery drainer for sure.
Oh, and you know what else is the Seeing AI one? That's a battery drainer. It's all there. We require so much power now than we ever have. Like Scotty said, I need more power.
I need power. Well, 12.3 came along with revamped TV app. I did take a look at it. It's very nice. I really like it. It shows all the anything that I'm subscribed to is all right there. It's pretty. I like it quite a bit. I am really looking forward to the TV Plus coming up. See how that's going to look with it. But if you guys not looked through your new TV apps since the update of 12.3, get that a look. I was surprised we did get some improvements with VoiceOver, some bugs that they fixed out, especially in the Apple Music area. And of course, we mentioned this last month that I stated that that web event is gone from accessibility, that got a blowback from a lot of. It is gone, but the experimental feature is still there. So obviously they're still working on it. So that's pretty much it. There wasn't really anything in there that I could say, oh my gosh, look at this or look at that. So it was just an incremental thing for the TV app. And obviously,
and if you guys have checked your YouTube and do a lot of perusing as I do, and I'm sure if you're as curious as I am, and most of them, especially the people that are listening to this cast, I think are more adventurous than most. I think you're probably all doing your researches, and I think you'll all find that they even admit that there's no real improvement over the last one, really. It's just some tweaks, but nothing that you'd care to write home about. I think I have that about right.
Yeah, I mean, it was focused on the TV app. That's what it's focused on, just like the 12.4 that we'll be getting at some point is focused on the new Apple Card. That is it. I mean, there's nothing.
That's right.
I'm okay with that. Anytime I can update my phone and things don't break, I'm happy.
Yeah. Does it have to be a big jump too. Like that? I mean, to me, that's like, that could be a 12.3.2.
Yeah,
attack
another decibel at the end.
Yeah, make it sound like it's big and prevalence, like, oh, 12.4.
See, you guys remember, speaking of updates, do you guys remember that one update way back in the iOS days, maybe the second or third update of started updating our phones and we were able to do that without just freaking out? You guys remember when we had like 60 million people brick their phones? You guys remember that?
Yes,
I do. I felt bad because there was quite a few people contacting me. I remember that date. I was like, oh my God, it's bricking everything.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I was right there. I didn't get bricked, but boy, it's nasty.
And did you guys, all right, so I got to ask you guys, have you ever or do you own an iPod Touch?
I do not.
Yes.
You order, you have everything by Apple, don't you? Everything there is, you have, right?
I don't have a home, whatever that speaker's called, shoot.
Oh, yeah.
That thing.
You wanted me to invest in Apple, I'll buy you that. Don't worry. I'll get you.
All right,
you can
send it to me.
Yeah, well, I absolutely will.
Look into a Roomba for me.
Well, Mike, what do your kids use? Do they have an iPad themselves or tablet or something?
We have like a family iPad that everybody borrows, and they have like the only thing that they really get to mess with are just old phones that we have that we've just kept and put a bunch of games on for them.
That's a good idea. Okay, I was curious because I used to do that with my kids. I bought an iPod Touch for both of them so they can have that, and it didn't have, you know, direct cell on it. It was a compromise until they got old enough that we felt like a mobile phone would be that time. But I mean, in our family, they had to go into middle school. So in the U.S., that's about almost 13 years old when they go to middle school. So you had to graduate from sixth grade before we can get to mobile, but everybody has different preferences and stuff. So I remember we had an iPod Touch for those kids. And so the reason I bring this up, because I think everybody was very surprised. They roll out the iPod Touch 7th generation yesterday. And I was surprised. It was long overdue. I mean, gosh, what's it been? Five years?
It's been a long time.
I was like, oh my God. Yeah, so I'm so glad they came out with a new update. However, now I'm going to tell you a couple things that I thought about this iPod Touch when I was looking at it. So I'm looking at it and I said, okay, cool. So what's new in this? Absolutely nothing. So what I mean by that, it looks identical. There's no Face ID. There's no Touch ID. It still has a home button as in shape and form and everything's still the same. They just put an A10 processor in, and I had to look that up. I said, that sounds dated, and I looked it up, and sure enough, it's an equivalent of an iPhone 7 chip. So I was like, what the?
Yeah, what's the point?
Yeah, so am I missing something here? Because I see a lot of articles says, this is the brilliant move by Apple to bring this out, so for those that want to be part of the Apple ecosystem. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, but why would I buy an iPod Touch 7th generation, it just came out, that may have one or two cycles in it. And when I say cycles, for those that don't understand, iOS cycles. So right now we're in iOS 12, for example, right? And that means this thing will get maybe iOS 13. Well, it will definitely get iOS 13, but I'm not 100% about iOS 14. And if so, that'll be the last you get, 2 years. So, I mean, typical phone gets about 4 cycles. So I was kind of like, was really surprised they put such a little chip in there for considering there's nothing else new in there. It's like, obviously, that couldn't cost too much money to put like an A11 in there or something newer.
No, maybe it's just for those people who never do research and don't know and just walk in and see a way cheaper price tag. But yeah. I don't get it.
It's $199 bucks.
I've got another theory.
What's that?
I think Apple just wants some more donations.
Yeah. More disposable phones. Well, it's $199 bucks for a 32 gig model. Of course, they sell the 256 model. But mm-hmm. I'm thinking, good Lord, you could probably get yourself an iPhone 8, if not an iPhone 7, for about that price, if not cheaper. It just depends.
Yeah, but sometimes if they're going to do that, maybe people just don't want, you know, phones, and you know, they're going for something that they just can put on their Wi-Fi and not have to bother with the phones. I mean,
I turn my cell things off that I don't use. Like, I have an iPad that has cell capability, but I just turn the cell part off. So, I mean,
that's why I bought an iPod. I had to stop and think about it. That's what I, because we have a surround sound in the basement here, and I wanted something that had Apple Music, had everything synced up. So I just went and bought the absolute cheapest one and just have it plugged into that. And all I do is play music.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I had to ask you guys because I was just, so when this came out, I was totally disappointed. I was just so dumbfounded. I could not understand the whole why I don't think I would recommend this to people. I would just say get a small iPad for $100-$200 bucks more, and you get a lot more features and you're going to get more cycles out of it.
They probably just had a huge supply of iPods.
Yeah,
and they found the box of all those 8-inch.
Oh. And Mike, what you're saying, you're probably right, Mike. They probably had a whole bunch of these in stock, and they were like, "Let's not just waste this. Let's just, I don't know, let's just change the inners a little bit, and there you go."
Yeah, we got all these extra chips, all these iPods that nobody wants. Let's just see if we can sucker some people into buying them.
Voila, here you go. It's a brand new 7th generation.
Well, plus you do know, Tom, about there's no battery in these devices, right? You heard about that. There's a little crank in the back. You keep turning the crank and it gives you more power. It's a little generator that you crank in the back.
If you look on the box, it says batteries not included.
Yeah, you can buy the $40 adapter, let you rub it on your carpet for static charging.
Ooh, wow.
Okay,
now, how much do you want to bet that we're going to get comments on that? Like, really? Does it really have a crank on it, you guys?
Now, what I'm really excited is I can't believe it's less than a week away, folks, for WWDC. It's coming out
up Monday, what, the 3rd?
The 3rd of June, and it's coming out very quickly here. Stay tuned to AppleViz. We will have our guys' blog, podcast, the whole 9 yards to tell you all about the WWDC and what you can expect. Anything that's newly revealed, especially iOS 13 for iOS devices along with the Mac TVs and stuff like that. Last month, we got into a lot of details about it. So if you didn't listen to last month, if you want to hear some of the things that they're still talking about, a lot of them are still on par, give the last month a listen. Now, the only thing that's changed that I can add to it that I've heard, and this is the first time I have ever heard coming from a main source, is that the accessibility is now being moved from the general section down to the root of the settings. I thought, now that's a brilliant move, and that is long overdue. We should not have to be buried way deep to get to our accessibility stuff. And so my understanding is under settings. How you guys feel about that?
You know, I just use Siri to open it every single time, so it's not going to affect me one bit.
Good point.
Well, if I were to comment on that, then I'd be chastised for saying, well, we don't want it right up front. We want it all the way in the back. I mean, we're super, you know, we want everything to put in the back.
I don't know.
We don't want to,
I have to hand it for Apple for trying to make it up front. So,
I agree with you, but there are those out there who prefer to sit in the back of the bus even rather than be up front. I mean, let's face it.
You're probably right.
They're going to be upset about this.
Where did the accessibility go? It's not in the general anymore. I could see that too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Right up front. Exactly what's going to happen. Why
would it makes me wonder if some sighted people were using that quite a bit too for a number of reasons, but I wonder if that, I don't know, but like Mike says, I didn't think about that.
No matter what you say, we're going to get in trouble for saying that. So
I understand there's some new hearing aid features within accessibility. I don't know what they are. They didn't go in detail. So that's about all I heard so far, but hopefully we'll get more information next week in terms of accessibilities and besides just the main features like the dark web. That's going to be like the number one feature I think everybody's going to go bonkers about is the dark web. And of course the marzipan on the Mac, but I wanted to talk about this subject because I wanted to see what you guys thought about this and see if you think this was like really dumb on the consumers or not. Okay, so here in the States, we have something called the Supreme Court. That's like the highest court on land. And sometimes they make decisions that will make future changes forever. And they decided to denounce Apple. I guess Apple can be sued by a consumer for their app practices. And apparently, the whole idea, this is a class action suit. So this is a totally different type of how do you sue people. So class action is probably one of the easiest thing to win when in terms of going to court for. So it doesn't take a lot for the consumer to say this, and they find them guilty. And the reason I bring this up, because I'm just guessing here, but I really do think that this is going to be the beginning of changes to come when it comes to using the App Store. And meaning that if we're now able to sue Apple for App Store practices, and which meaning that right now we pay 30% on every dollar or 30% period on any app towards an app, right? So if it's a paid app, that 30% goes to Apple. And that they think that's monopolizing, and they also think that the developers have to tax on to the price because they're not making as much as they should. So in other words, they'll sell it for $2 so they can get their money back for that 30% they missed out. And so people want to have the rights to buy an app outside the App Store or purchase an app outside the App Store so they don't have to pay that 30% tax. So I am curious what you guys think of that and if this is just a stupid lawsuit or if they got good reasons or what do you think?
So how would you purchase it through other than the App Store?
Well, if things go the way it's going, like for example, Europe, the EU is right on Apple's heels about the Spotify monopolization because, Spotify is complaining the same thing. They're saying it's not fair that people can pay $9.99 for Apple Music and Apple gets $9.99, where Spotify, we only get $7.99. And we're losing out at $3. And so it almost sounds like now when it comes to Spotify, it makes sense because they're a subscription. So you can pay for their subscription outside. So I'm thinking a lot of people are wanting to do that. They want to have the app as free and they download it. But to use it, they'll have to turn on the subscription. But they want to pay for the subscription on Spotify website, which they can do, but it's a pain in the butt, right? Because you have so Spotify saying, I just want you to eliminate that. This is not fair. Is it free? It's free. If it's in-app purchase, that's just our money, not yours. And so Apple is arguing that, the 30% goes towards making sure that the App Store is clean of malware, viruses, and making sure that all your privacy is tacked. You can download apps outside of app stores. I don't think that's a well-known thing, but you can do that. It's because they have an enterprise certificate. It's a long story, but if they have the proper certificate from Apple, you can download apps outside the App Store. It is not recommended because it was designed for companies that have internal companies like all these employees don't have to go through the App Store to get this internal app that they designed. So that's how they get away with it. So they download those apps and it works. So that's how it would work, I would presume.
I like this.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like, well, we're kind of digging ourselves a hole, aren't we?
Yeah, because the thing is, everybody knows that Apple makes their money off of hardware and services, right? Not data like Google and Facebook do. And if this goes through, they're going to lose whatever percentage of their profits. They're going to find a way to make that up. And as we'll dive into when we get a little farther down the topics here, I've completely quit using Google in every single aspect of my life.
Kind of like Facebook, right?
Yeah, I don't have neither one of them because of the data mining. And I don't want Apple to end up getting into the data game because of this. I think if people have that big of a problem with it, don't use it. Go find something else. That's the way Apple wants to do business, whatever.
Yeah. And you know, Mike, I have to agree with you, but my only fear is that the EU has been very well known to be very hard on the tech industry. And yeah. I really can see them passing something that will impact how the App Store works in one form or another. I'm not saying it'll be a massive change, but I do think there will be some changes come down. That's pretty much why I brought this up, because class action suit means that's all of us. Anybody that uses this and bought something from the App Store, if something gets settled, we all get money from this. And I don't know. I just think that there's people that are just wanting to get money back. Or
yeah, there's a huge potential for this to go sideways in a direction that we're not going to like.
Yep. So it's just be aware about this. I'm sure this is not going to be the first time we'll talk about it. And I'm sure some down the road when things get a little bigger, we'll find out. But moving on, now I got to ask you both. Now you, let's see. Randy, you're on Microsoft Windows, right? You use that solely or primarily?
I use it primarily because, you know, I do teach stuff about Apple. Yeah. Things. So, but pretty much, yeah.
And then, now, Mike, you still have a Mac, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, this next one is I went bonkers on this. Now, Microsoft Edge Insider Build, folks. Okay, what does this mean? First of all, they made an announcement the Insider Builder is available for the Mac now. Those have been keeping in the loop with the Windows platform. We had Edge browser, and we can all say the Edge royally sucks. it just sucks. It really does. I think it's cumbersome. It's not very. It's just clunky.
It's really slow.
And JAWS and NVDA is doing a great job of making this accessible and all. But what blew my mind away was that we're going back to Google here. Microsoft decided to revamp Edge. I mean, from the complete ground and up. They went to the Chromium open source. Folks, that Chromium is a open source where Google places like the Google Chrome, for example, is based on the Chromium structure, infrastructure. So Microsoft has decided to create Microsoft Edge Insider Build, which is a brand new, and it's in beta, so you won't see this in the public until probably next year's in spring. However, for those that don't mind getting your feet wet and trying this out, I will say it is very, very, very accessible on Windows platform with JAWS and NVDA. And I'm curious, Mike, if you were to, now it's available on the Mac, I would be curious of what you think of it and how accessible it is. And I'm telling you guys, this is amazing, amazing. It looks, tastes, feel, everything like Google Chrome. I mean, down to everything, it looks identical. And so if you're familiar with the Google Chrome, it is just like it. And I will tell you, I absolutely love it. It is fast, it is very accessible, and it works great. And I ditched my Internet Explorer 11 because, you know, at some point, I think within the next year or two, that Internet Explorer 11 will be gone. So we have.
Oh yeah, because it fails with a lot of the stuff that you want to do with it now. It just says, you know, it fails. I got to tell you a really quick story about this. I had a problem with my Charter emails client, and I was actually, I'm getting a high watermark, too many emails coming in, and I should delete some messages and stuff, you know, and I thought it was some sort of infection, and I called up the charter guys, you know, and I got a hold of this really nice human, and her name was Carrie, and I told her, you know, that I was very computer literate. I taught computers and access tech, and you know, she was really, she caught on right away, and she goes, all right, so I want you to, we need to check some things. So why don't you bring up IE? And I said, oh, I don't use that. And she goes, well, we use nothing but IE. And I go, Carrie, you use IE? And she goes, yeah. And well, she goes, are you on Windows 10? And I go, oh, well, I have been for a couple of years now. And she goes, oh, well, our company is still using Windows 7.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I said, are you guys like, you know, like streaming Laurel and Hardy then? Or, you know, how are you guys able to do what you do? I thought that kind of funny.
No, that's a true fact. I know my wife, she works for a local children's hospital and here in Kansas City area, and they are just now going to 10 from 7 this week. And yeah, they're going to go in training. So it is amazing how many sevens there are out there. But I tell you, 10, hands down, is the best OS I've ever seen. I love it. The law right. companies.
I agree. So having said that, now why are you using Edge, the Insider's build, if you can just use Google Chrome just to try it?
Just to make sure it's working.
You loved it. I was just...
I absolutely love it because you're not going to get the Google aspect of it. You know, like Mike was just saying, you don't, obviously your privacy is going to Microsoft now. I guess it wouldn't make any difference in that, but I'm excited because Internet Explorer has just been known to have so many security problems. Oh my gosh. I do it because I need to start learning this stuff before it starts to come out for client reasons. But left in the show notes for those Mac users that want to try this out. It'll be in the show note. Give it a whirl. I am curious. I want to hear from other people how it works on the Mac, since I know on Windows 10 it works really super well. And it's been around for about a month and a half on Microsoft Windows platform, but not on the Mac. So this is a brand new deal.
Yeah, I was just curious on how you, you know, why you went that way. And you said for your clients and...
For the clients,
I normally would do something like that.
Security.
I meant the clients as far as your... Go ahead.
Oh, the extensions. There's now extensions on them. Even on a beta, if you go under extension, I was like, oh my God, it's about time we have an extension for Microsoft web browser. So you can slap on Adblock. You can put on a Avast virus checker to make sure. These are things we did not have in Internet Explorer. There's protection and layers. Sure. That I have on Google Chrome, for example, I have layers of protection on it to keep my machine from doing drive-by malicious viruses and malware. That's why I avoid Internet Explorer, just for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So security, and just wanted to give a heads up and looking at it and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had to put this in here because I laughed and laughed and laughed my butt off on this one. There's a dude... All right, Mike, help me on this. He fell asleep with his AirPod, and I remember Mike saying he fell asleep with his.
All of
this dude swallowed one of his AirPods.
How would he do that?
Yeah, I wonder if that's the real story.
You know, I was like, there's no way. So tell me, how big are these things, Mike? Just one of them. We're talking like an inch?
Maybe inch and a half, like if you include the little stem part.
The stem makes them really long.
Yeah, it's long. It's like
thought he was eating a...
So how do you swallow a device that's an inch and a half long, and it's probably not very thick? I'm maybe half inch.
So I'm holding it in my hands right now. Imagine maybe a peanut M&M, maybe a little bit bigger than that, with an inch and a half long stem on the bottom of it.
Okay, peanut M&M, that's small enough, but that length, though...
Yeah, I'm holding it. I can't imagine trying to swallow this.
So this dude. Well,
what if you were eating a glazed donut, for instance, and you got some on the stem of it, wouldn't you? I mean, if you had a glazed donut in your hand.
Yeah. If you put a bunch of sugar glaze on it.
Yeah, would you eat it? The thing I would do is, you know, Yeah, I would try to get it off of there, and I might swallow it. Yeah.
Yeah, with the proper, you know, preparation, I'm sure I could swallow it, but
yeah,
oh yeah, not just like this.
I mean, he must be like a heavy sleeper. I mean, like, and not only that, but and not notice it. Maybe he was dreaming. He was eating something, and he was like, I don't know.
Oh, I know, Tom. I know you left a part out there. He was dreaming. He was dreaming he was eating an apple.
Oh, beautiful apple. So it's this true story. Now, I have to be with Mike. I don't know. Okay, so this dude swallowed his AirPod, and what got worse, and I thought, oh, this can't be true at all. I know this can't be true, because he said he couldn't find it. He got his iPhone, what do you call that app where you search for your iPhone, find my iPhone, and he heard it beeping in his stomach. I was like, how serious?
Oh, come on now.
So, the thing is, he went to the hospital, and supposedly the hospital verified that he did swallow an AirPod, but they wouldn't say he did it while he was sleeping, if he did it intentionally, but he did swallow. They had this x-ray of an AirPod in his stomach. They thought they were going to have to do some surgery, but they wanted to go ahead and try some laxative first. And
I mean, if you can swallow it, it can come out the other end, right?
Yeah, so he waited, and the next day, Lord by golly, George, he has a photo of him digging the iPod out of his poop, and if I may say poop.
Not this and guy.
He says the iPhone was in working condition and it was still at 41% battery life.
He's trying to get a reality show. I don't trust this guy at all.
I don't either. I wonder what type of laxative they use. Some sort of apple laxative, probably, right?
Yeah, some apple cider. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, this guy, this is a setup for his new YouTube channel where he just swallows stuff and see if it works when it comes back out.
You know, I almost will say, okay, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He did swallow it. But did he sleep and swallow it? No, I don't think so. I think he was being one of those, like you said, like a YouTuber, like, hey, look, I swallowed an AirPod.
Publicity stunt.
Publicity. Because of the numerous of different sources that I saw that confirmed that he swallowed it. And that's the only reason I would even brought this up. And I was like, but I had to talk to you guys about this. I was going to ask Mike about this. I said, oh, my God. Gosh, they swallowed an AirPod.
They're kind of heavy too. Like, does he breathe like a vacuum cleaner to even get it in his mouth to the back of his throat and then swallow it? I don't understand how that's possible.
I don't either.
Oh, my glob.
Oh, my glob. I was rolling on the floor when I read this. I was like, oh, I got to tell the guys about this. You got to read about this.
What a world we live in.
I know. And then on to AppleVist News. Do you guys remember Chirp for Twitter? I mentioned about some months back about how it's a Twitter app for your Apple Watch and how it's a full-blown Twitter app. It's
beautiful. Yes, of course. Yep.
Well, another gentleman stepped up. This one's called J-A-Y. And it's the same kind of concept. You get the full-blown Twitter experience on it, but you don't have to pay any donations, anything to unlock any features. So take a look at Jay. If you have not tried Chirp, or if you want to try something different, try Jay. I worked with it and it works fantastic. It is so amazing. I can have Twitter right on my Apple Watch, a full blown, even though I bought Twitterific and I got Twitter, but none of that is full blown on a watch. And so these two guys, got something going on here, and I really like this guy a lot, and he's very receptive, and I gave him some feedback about how you can include some other things that I would like to see within the app itself. So if you haven't looked at Jay, and if you have an Apple Watch, go for it. And he does accept donations, so I highly recommend you give him some donation for his cause.
Now, this is strictly for the watch, right?
Yes, this is strictly for the Apple Watch folks that want Twitter, full-blown Twitter. You can read timeline to timeline, et cetera. It there. You can tweet from it. You can retweet. You can like. You can do all sorts of stuff. You can reply. Love it.
Cool.
Very nice. And it's free. Absolutely free. That's why I mentioned it. That's even better.
What apps are you using for Twitter now? Just kind of curious.
I went back to just plain old Twitter like Mike. I'm just plain use. Yep. Okay. I've gave up with the others just because I wanted the notification. And now that they have a little button that tells me I want to do this in chronological time order, yeah. although yeah. it's temporary.
Yeah, it's obnoxious.
It is, isn't it? So every time I open it, I have to press this button to say back yeah. in chronological order.
Every time.
And then it goes back, and it's like, eh. So that's the only thing I use for my phone, and I now use... been deciding between Chirp and Jay. Chirp has a little bit more functionality, of course, but you got to spend $2 to get that functionality. I like Chirp so far on my watch. Now, as soon as Jay offers more capabilities, I probably go with Jay. So that is what I use for Twitter now.
God, you're fickle, Tom, you know?
I know. I can never stay with one app. I'm always all over the place. there's a beta test.
Right now I'm using Chirp.
What are you using?
And I like that, but I'm using Chirp right now.
And for your phone?
Twitter.
Twitterific?
No, Twitter.
Oh, you're just using Twitter by itself too, yeah. then?
Yeah. I just find no use for anything else anymore, so.
I know. It's sad, right? And we spent, what, $5 on it?
Yeah.
Look at it. We put it into the grave.
Speaking of social media, super quick, there's a feature for alt text in Instagram now, if anybody's interested in that.
A what?
Alt text in Instagram now, for those people that have it, start harassing the people you follow to start adding that in.
Tell me more about that. I'm curious.
So, like, if I were to post a picture, there's a little box now that says alt text that I can click on and fill it out, and then anybody with screen reader turned on, when they touch the picture, instead of it just saying picture, it'll...
alt
text I've added for it.
So you're an Instagrammer then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you like that. And let me ask you about the alt tag then. Do you find that people are using it? I mean, as in filling it in?
Not people that know me do because of me. I think it's one of those things that it'll take a little bit of legwork. I mean, Twitter's had it for how long and nobody uses it?
Yeah, it's kind of like Facebook. Yeah. They've had it for a while now too, although they started getting into kind of an automatic recognition, like two people.
It kind of does that. Instagram kind of does that too. But I've just started harassing everybody that I actually talk to on there to start doing it.
Gotcha. Well, I'm really happy they're doing this, but honestly, I'm just failing. Maybe someday the AI will be fantastic, but right now, that's two people smiling with sunny background. It does not tell me anything.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of browsing. Except for like the videos and stuff. I'll watch the videos and things like that. But
the only thing I get used out of it, if it actually has text on there, I'll actually try to read it to you like a birthday card or something. I think that part is cool. So that part I like, but I mean, how many people are going to actually take a picture of a birthday card or something? They're not.
Right.
So, I mean, they're obviously going to take pictures like, you know, like mountains or friends or family or something, and so it's not going to help me. It's not going to tell me it's my mom and my sisters are smiling in the picture.
Yeah,
that's just for another day, another story. But Applebee's also, we also have a beta for those that like games. Weestopia is out for beta tester. Come to Applebee's. I'll leave it in the show note. This looks interesting. I think you might be interested in this, Mike, because it's more of a it's a Wild West kind of a deal, and you have to try to catch these bandits and things. So you have to like prepare yourself, get all the supplies and teams to go after these bandits and get your stuff back. And I guess there's different stories as you complete. It sounds fascinating. I'm going to have to give it a whirl and see what I think of it.
I'll have to try that one out. That's kind of interesting.
Very much. Now we're up to the tips here. Now, I'm going to do something a little different with the tip this month, because I have had a lot of emails. I'm talking, oh my gosh, many, many dozens of emails. I released a podcast on VIP, how to benefit the VIP within your mail app. And that is to have certain people that you want to get notification that you receive an email from. So if Mike sent me an email and I have him in my VIP, I will get "You got mail" from him. I get so much emails every day that I got to the point where I could only just select a few people that I really want to know about. So if Randy sent me some. And to do this, you open up your mail app, and at the top left is your mailbox menu button. You tap on that, and you go to VIP. And from there, you can double tap and add people or remove people and check out who sent you mail. But Ron Worley, a user of ours, has been communicating back and forth with me. He could not find VIP in his mailbox, and I could not figure this out for the life of me. And he was finally able to figure this out. He called Apple Accessibility Team. And I tell you, there's got to be a million different things like this I still don't know about. And it just, to this day, I'm just amazed. But in that same page, there's this edit box at the top right. I didn't even know. I knew it exists, but I didn't really dive into it. But you guys know that within that area, and you probably already did, but I didn't know this, but you can turn options on and off, like VIP, unsent, attach, all these things. So like you can have a specific folder that you can open up and it'll show you all the emails with attachments or all the emails with just unsent. All this stuff it's like a whole treasure full of stuff in there. I like, oh my God, look at that.
You can rearrange them. Like I have unread at the very top, so I can go into that and all my email addresses, anything that's unread will be in that. And then once I read it, it goes out of that one.
I only use all inboxes. That way I know everything is in there from every account, and that way I can go. But yeah, you can rearrange things, how it looks and everything. So I thought that was fantastic. I wanted to spread that as a tip. And thank you, Ron, for hanging in there with me, trying to figure out why you couldn't find the VIP. And he must have hidden it at one point, or it unhid itself. Wow. So you can unhide that. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I had no idea. I've been using VIP forever because when I first started using it, I thought, oh, I'm really important. I'm getting VIP mail. people would look at it and they go, wow, you're really popular. Well, actually, I guess so.
So if you
been for a long time. I like it.
It's very useful. It's very useful if you have a busy inbox and you got a busy life where you don't want to be nagged about every tone or ding that you get on your phone. You can modify that. Get that podcast to listen if that helps you. It is about two casts ago, but you will find how to use VIP on your email. Give that a whirl. And then our last one, and we'll wrap it up for today, is that I also did a podcast on something called AdGuard Pro. And I mentioned something about a VPN on there. And oh my gosh, I thought I have opened a barn door or something, because I had a flood of emails of people really were interested in this VPN stuff. So I decided to make a podcast on how to use a VPN, and I use a service called Windscribe as a sample. And I think Randy, you were telling me that you tried it out, right?
Yeah, I was, well, the first thing I did was so that I could get a word in edgewise, I complimented you on your podcast. Seriously, ladies and gentlemen, just a great cast. I listen to a lot of casts while I'm on my treadmill, and I just found it so interesting because I travel to these remote areas sometimes, way up north, northern Minnesota, near the Canadian border. And when I go to some of these hotels, I get really nervous about, as Tom does, when you are connecting to a unsecured network. God, who knows who's going to be watching you, even if it's just for, half an hour or something. And when I do demonstrations and I connect to these, the routers and stuff, I want something to feel more secure. And now I don't say this very often, but now I'm a really secure person because of...
he had insecurity problems, folks.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited about using it.
Well, yeah, he was trying to tell me about how he goes a lot of visits to different cities, you know, go to hotels like myself, where we have to go out of town every so often, and we connect to a lot of unknown wireless that I get freaked out about. And if this sounds like something that's up your alley that you want to feel more protected, please do give the podcast a listen. It's in the show note. Windscribe is kind of nice because it gives you, if you sign up with your email address, when you listen to the podcast, it gives you 10 gig a month. I thought that's way sufficient. That's a lot amount. Always turn it off when you're watching YouTube or stuff like that. I mean, you know, it's just common sense what you turn on and off for. But for my mail and my Newsify and my bank, you know, I check my bank quite often, stuff like that. Do it, because I was a victim, as you will hear in the story there, that I couldn't believe it. I just could not believe it. I thought,
He's got a really neat story that he tells, and I encourage you to listen to it. So, Tom, don't tell him the story. Just let him look for it. You'll get more listeners that way. I got to tell you that what I think that you should have done at the very top of the podcast, to the very opening, you should have said, in that big voice of yours going, always use protection.
And I always say this as an old computer term, always practice safe hex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's secure right. yourself. Yeah, definitely do listen to it. I think you feel a lot more secure once you hear the story and things like that. I only did this because, oh my gosh, I have so many emails of people asking me about this. So I want to encourage you all to listen to this if you have not looked into VPN, if that's something that would work for you or not. Including you, Mike. You probably
they're super handy for getting around those pesky blackout restrictions on sporting events. If you stream those.
So. Oh, so you get around the using the VPN to go to the outside. I don't condone it, but yes, a lot of people do that. They will use a VPN to, if you're in a different country, like my son, he wanted to use Netflix when he was in Europe. And of course, and you're in Europe, they black those out because that's a US-based service. But if you turn the VPN on, it will allow you to do that. So you can kind of skirt around things.
Take your freedom back, folks. No, I'm a Colorado Avalanche hockey fan. But most of their, like all of their home games, since I'm in Utah right now, it's all blackout restricted here. So I'll just connect from like Florida.
Yeah.
And watch
it. Do you use VPN or are you just saying that you should try it for that reason?
I mean, I pay NHL every
I see somebody knocking on our door.
That's fine. Yeah, I'm a full paying customer. I want to watch my team. So
there instead you go.
Of driving to Florida to watch it, I just drive my kitchen in there.
Oh man, yeah. I guess if you want to do that, it does work for that. But VPN with the AdGuard Pro will definitely secure you and eliminate ads. And
yeah, it's a good idea.
Yep. Well, that is going to do, guys. You guys got anything else cool that came up in May that I just didn't cover here that you'd like to talk about?
No, but Tom and I have been talking about some tips, and I want you guys to buckle up because we got some great tips coming for you next month, some little things that you seem to enjoy. So after the podcast, we'll talk about some of these things, some really neat stuff, something to do with Microsoft, right, Tom?
That's right. You guys shall have to wait. Yeah. You have to wait with pins and needles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys for coming on. I appreciate it. Next month ought to be a lot bigger of a month with the WWDC news. That's going to be big. I am so excited. And then I will start to tell you anything iOS 13 related that I am allowed to talk about. I will be talking about this all summer long. Exciting.
Yeah, we're excited about it.
You guys sound so excited. You go, yeah, we're excited.
Yeah. I really am because who doesn't like new stuff?
Oh, yeah.
So are you both excited enough you're going to listen to it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's good enough. If you're going to listen to it, that tells me you're interested in it. That's awesome.
No, yeah. I just got such a bad case of spring fever right now. I'm almost just lulled. It's just so nice out here. 82 degrees as I speak right now.
Well, geez, take the phone to a park and listen to it.
I would, but then the police would be chasing me.
Mm. They're like, why is this old guy at the park over here? What's going on?
Was he taking a picture of All right. That's enough of that. All right. You guys take care, and we'll see you next month for, obviously, the June 2019 Unleashed. Until then, my name is Thomas Donville, also known as Nine Mouse, with Mike Malarcy and Randy Rusnick. We'll see you guys again. Goodbye.
This Apple Vis Unleashed podcast has been brought to you by the community of AppleVis.com. For the latest in resources and tips and tricks to get you the best experience from your Apple device, visit us online at www.applevis.com.